You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Take one. Knock, knock.
Who it is?
We're Steven and Dana, and we can't believe you found our fucking podcast. We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning. We're Steven and Dana, and we're in the room.
Hi, Dana.
Hello, my darling.
How are you?
Well,
post-Broadway Con.
Well, turns out I'm fabulous. Turns out. Broadway Con, we haven't really talked about it together.
I know.
Wow, that's a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, I guess we should introduce our guest and then I'll ask him.
Well, I'm just listening.
You're just an observer.
Yeah.
Joel Gray is auditing the podcast today.
He's a scrappy up-and-comer who we're just trying to help out by giving him some, podcast recognition.
Letting him stand on our soapbox for a minute.
Yeah.
But Joel Gray, you've been to Broadway Con.
I was, yeah. I loved it.
It's fun. It's really, I had a
It
ball.
Warmed my heart. I mean, the people that were there are true theater fans. I didn't realize that people dress up. Like,
oh yeah, the costumes are great.
They can be characters in shows, or they're just, they're dressing up as Sutton Foster.
Right.
It's so crazy. It was lovely. And people are coming up to us and, having us sign things. And
the energy was 100. For 3 days.
It was 100.
We were dying. By day three.
I had to take off 3 days of work. I'm so sorry. I went to Broadway Con. But we were there with our Broadway Podcast Network. We were doing a whole bunch of, the network was doing a whole bunch of live podcasts throughout the 3 day spread.
Right.
And we got to do our live podcast episode with Nancy Opal. And it was hilarious and fun.
And we got our trading cards.
I feel like people can buy them on the website. We'll put a link at some point when we find out, but
That's
that was a surprise
exciting.
To us. I'm like,
that
where did they find
cool.
this photo of me? And apparently Squiggs, who's the person who does these Broadway trading cards, he had to stalk me on Google because I do a lot of side selfies, profile work. Because I feel like my straight on face, is lacking, and so he had to Google me to try to find a picture where my face was looking front. Is that the story?
It is the story.
What does she look like when she's just looking straight?
Yeah, what does she actually look like?
So funny.
What do you think she looks like? Come on, let's hear it.
There's certainly a Bette Midler in there.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take it.
That's not a bad one.
In personality or looks?
I mean, probably in personality, influencing looks, because I know you as well as I do.
She's the core of my baseball.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When you cut open me as a person, there's there's a tiny little Bette
if
Midler
Rosie
right in the
O'Donnell,
middle.
If Rosie O'Donnell, in a league of their own, hit a baseball and it shredded, the nucleus would be Bette Midler.
That woman has really...
That's what you look like.
...penetrated me deeply.
Can you can do the same with him?
Yeah. Okay, who are you?
Let's crack open that baseball.
Yeah. Crack it open. I think you... But it's hard because I know who you love so much.
Right.
So...
No, forget about that.
Yeah, I think because... A lot of people know who he is now. Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek is someone that I think that you naturally are like. And this person is just now a character on a TV show.
Correct.
And everyone's like, oh my God, that's Steven. I'm like, well, Steven was here first. You know what I mean? Like, Steven was here first.
That's the highest compliment I've ever received.
But yeah, I think a lot of that is just so fun to watch. I get Amy Schumer a lot. Personality, talking, topics, stuff like that, delivery.
Okay.
But, yeah.
He's definitely unique.
Yeah, you are. There's no other Stephen Pearcy.
Fair.
No one is going to fight me on that, ever.
No one.
No one.
Would you play yourself in a movie, or would you have Ron Rifkin do it?
How dare you.
How dare you.
I'd have Ron Rifkin play me. Oh, I'm sorry. You were asking Joel.
Yeah.
I think you'd be better at it. No.
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 Great.
Well, it depends on what movie it is. Are we talking about now, current?
No, I mean, Ron and I are very close friends.
Yeah.
We're like brothers, and I wouldn't have my brother play me.
Yeah.
I think that would be a mistake.
Too close.
Right.
Too close. Too real.
Too close for comfort.
I want to talk about Fiddler a little bit.
Sure.
Because I had a front row seat to...
I always want to talk about Fiddler.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? You should... You're so proud of it. You're so proud of it. And it, should be so proud of it.
It's one of my favorite musicals of all time. I've never wanted to be more Jewish than when I went to go see your production of it. It's... For people who don't know, it's entirely in Yiddish. And it's a stripped down... It's so beautiful. I was moved by nothing more that entire year. It was just like the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And we saw it at the
Museum of Jewish Heritage.
There we go. And it was just like layers upon layers of, it's not my culture, but I felt so
connected
to it.
You know why?
Well, kind of, but tell me.
I think it's the humanity that's in... possible in all of us.
Yeah.
It's a common humanity. And I think somehow in a foreign language, it's stripped down to what the relationships are in all of our lives.
Yeah.
Our mothers and fathers and sisters and lovers. You know, it's all up there. Shalom Aleichem was the beginning of Tevye and the milkman. And he was very smart. Then it got to be a whole other kind of event. It started out probably one of the first musicals that dealt with Jews.
Yep.
And was not
in a big cultural, you know, commercial way.
Right. And it was a vehicle, a really smart vehicle for Zero Mostel to play Tevye, but also to play Zero. In the musicals, things are bigger.
Yep.
But we sort of made them more real and smaller. And therefore, bigger.
Yeah.
What did I say?
That makes sense. It really, the focus of it made it so much heavier. And I was weeping. Mm-hmm. And I've never wanted to be Jewish more. I mean, to tell you the truth. I mean, I love Fiddler. It's one of my top two favorite musicals of all time. So it has that Shakespearean way of when you're speaking, the tonality, the inflection, the ups and downs, the dynamic way of expression, you don't even necessarily have to know the words that they're saying, because the words are up there. It's like an opera. So you can watch that. But also the way that they're speaking, like Shakespeare, you know, you don't, that's not a, another language, but you can understand exactly if someone's upset or empathetic.
If you go to the Met and they're singing in Italian, you know what it, they're talking about or singing about.
It's so beautiful.
If the acting is right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What made you want to do this?
What's
the Genesis story?
It's one of my very favorite musicals ever.
Yeah.
And I thought for so many years that I'd get to play Tevye in my youth.
Mm-hmm.
Now in my dotage. And it was not to be. You know, the timing, I was doing other things. So I got a call from Zalman Milotic, the head of the Museum of Jewish Heritage, the Volksbühne. And he said, I spoke with Hal Prince, and he, do you want to play Tevye or direct it? And I thought, well, it's very nice of Mr. Prince.
Was this a couple years ago?
Yeah, it's about 2 years ago that it started. He knows better than I do. My keeper.
The keeper of the key?
Your nanny. Yeah.
Your nanny.
My nanny.
Anyway, I said, I don't speak Yiddish, which I don't. I mean, I come from a family where my father was a kind of a brilliant Yiddishist, but my mother didn't speak it at all, and it was not spoken in our house, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so successful with his Yiddish parodies.
Talking about Mickey Katz.
Mickey Katz, the Joel David Katz father.
Mm-hmm.
He was so successful at it that I ended up loving the sound of it and finding it funny and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the language of our forefathers. So I said to Zalman the next morning, I said, I don't speak Yiddish, but I want to direct this. And I don't have a clue how to do it.
Or how to make it new. Like, if you're going to redo something, how are you going to add another layer? Why are we bringing it back? That's what I thought was so brilliant. Like, we've seen Fiddler before, but I've never seen it like this, and I will never see it like this again.
No, and I immediately thought of my favorite playwright, Chekhov, and I started to work with the cast as if it were a Chekhov play, finding each of them their place in the family and in their world and what they were dealing with. So what we did was we rehearsed the scenes in English over and over and over, so that they understood the
baseline.
The baseline of what needed to be said about these relationships and who these characters were. And then we added the Yiddish. And I just trusted that the acting was right.
And not all of these actors knew Yiddish, or most of them didn't.
No, we had, I'd say, maybe a quarter of the players, of the almost 30 people in that cast.
Huge.
And they were brave and smart and ambitious, and they had no choice but to get good at it.
What a gift.
And let's not forget, this was supposed to run for 6 weeks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All that work for 6 weeks.
Right.
As far as anyone knew.
Right. At a sort of minimum.
And then it just
and
kept
then what
going.
Happened?
Yeah. And everybody came.
It was a must-see.
It was.
Must-see.
It absolutely was. And then you transferred out of the museum and brought it to 42nd Street for a year.
And changed it a bit. You know, turned it more into a comparable theater piece uptown. It just had bigger possibilities, and we had the most amazing creative people. Beowulf Barrett and Anne Hould Ward and Dan Moses Schreier. And it was just gorgeous. Gorgeous. And Peter Kazarovsky. All my pals worked for nothing downtown, wow. As did I, just because we believed that this was something interesting to do and worthwhile, having no idea of its effect on the present anti-Semitism in the world, let alone Monsey and New York City and New Jersey. All these attacks in this moment, like the pogrom. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Can you believe?
Can I believe it?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that it's still here, but when you watch the president and his disregard for anything that we're...
For humans?
Made of.
Yeah.
We're made of as Americans. It's the stuff of real worry. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rewind to earlier days.
I was just telling you that I was an actor when I was 9.
Going back to Cleveland Playhouse.
Yes, that's my...
That's your
core.
Start.
Your start.
And my core. I am still that actor. And that's where I live and come from in all the things that I do. And I've had a lot of... steps away from that in order to make a living, in order to pay for my family and feed them. I took a lot of work, a lot of dreadful stuff.
Did you say yes to everything?
I had no choice. You know, when you're a dad.
Yeah.
And you're also praying to fulfill yourself and do what you started out doing, and then somehow life twisted that around and you went to another direction.
Yeah.
And then to get back on that bright path took about 20 years.
It's all about people's managing people's perceptions too. Like, oh, I'm not really this, but I've been boxed into this category. Now I'm trying to claw my way out because I know what that, you know, baseball is, in the core.
You do?
Well, kind of, yeah. I think we all do.
Let me hear.
We all do.
How do you relate to that?
Oh, man. I mean, I grew up as a performer. That was my identity. I grew up in the middle of Wisconsin, so it was I felt big fish in a small pond. You know, I don't know, do the thing, you know?
And, right.
I knew I was going to live in New York at some point because I love New York, and the of it, like, I love that it's hard to live here, but it's beautiful and gorgeous and magical things happen every day. This is a great example of that. I'm sitting across from Joel Grey right now. Mom, my mom is literally crying today. Okay, so my identity was as a performer, right? So then I moved to New York.
It was your dream.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You came here to...
Well, I went to school for acting and we did musical theater and all of that, and
so you
didn't
were,
check off, and then
you were pursuing.
Yeah, that's who I was. You know, you come out with a stamp on you. You know,
is that true?
My grandpa bought a camera as soon as I was born, so I have footage of me singing "Somewhere Over the Rainbow" with my dog and my cat at 3 years old. Skies are boo. You know, "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." Like, that's what I was from the very beginning. And then I come here and I'm not auditioning and I just try to find work as a temp job, and I'm like, ugh, I don't want to be a waiter. I don't want to... The work of it is very hard to maintain, to find jobs that'll keep you afloat while you audition. I didn't move here rich, so it's not like I can just audition
when
and not
work. When
did
you come?
I came in 2008. So that was the big old crash.
Sure was.
Yeah. And that kind of went
That's
aside.
That's 12 years ago.
Yeah. So I love living in New York, but my identity has not been as a performer for about 12 years. And so...
What has it been?
I've found the other parts of myself that led to doing this kind of thing, being a podcaster. And
yeah, but that's just this year.
Yeah, it's in the last couple of years, but all of that has been laying the groundwork and the foundation and meeting the people and doing the work of finding a tribe that fulfills me in another way, because I don't feel like my career is going to be as a performer.
Really?
I don't think that. But I feel like as a person, I'm already a performer. Like when people are like, I can't believe you're not acting. I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't matter to me. I don't need to get paid to be myself.
Right.
And that's, I think, what I've learned. But I'm not wanting for anything. I'm not walking down the street being like,
Looking for a job.
Yeah, no, I'm working on a whole bunch of stuff right now. We produced a documentary. I work for a production company. I see a lot of shows. It's about the people. I love meeting people. I don't know. It's just, it's all gravy.
How did you two meet?
At the Duplex.
We met at the Duplex.
Performing, both of you?
No, we were watching our friend perform.
Correct. My friend Natalie Joy Johnson, who you saw perform at my Duplex show.
I did.
She introduced, well, we introduced ourselves.
We started miming things to each other. I'm like, oh, he looks fun. And we were just like, ga-ga-ga, like, talk to you after. I didn't know who he was. He didn't know who I was.
But you connected.
We connected. It was immediate.
Yeah.
It was immediate.
That's kind of great.
It was immediate.
Yeah.
Found like
yeah
people
and do things that you love with the people that you love working with. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah. It sounds like it's going good.
And say yes to things and see where it goes.
When did you move to New York? How old were you when you moved here, kind of as a permanent resident?
When I was 18, and I lived in an apartment with four other guys. And that made five of us.
Yeah.
And there were four beds. So it was about who got home earliest.
Oh, my gosh. Were you guys messy?
On 49th Street.
Boys.
A fourth floor walk up.
Oh, get your glutes.
Yep. And you learn a lot from all of those.
Oh, absolutely. Things. Absolutely. No, you never forget your roommates.
A lot of struggle. Oh. A lot of struggle. Anti-Semitism. Huh? I was this Mickey Katz's son, and I was on television with Eddie Cantor.
Yeah.
So then I was a variety performer, not an actor. But the fact of the matter was, my real center was as an actor. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get a job as an actor.
They saw you as...
Yes, as a TV spot. Forever. For years. Mm-hmm. Success and failure.
Sure. What would you say is the project that really changed people's minds back into your acting?
Well, from a practical standpoint, Stop the World I Want to Get Off was a big success, and I happened to have the chops to sing. I'd studied. I couldn't sing at all. I never thought I would sing. I thought I was just going to be Laurence Olivier. I expected to be a classical actor. That's how I began.
That's amazing.
And so the next thing I knew, I had this audition for Stop the World, and I would always hear, oh, he's so young, or he's so this, or he's so that, or he's blah, 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 blah. Sure. I was in a Neil Simon play for a year, replacing somebody, and then I replaced quite a few people. And people would say, oh, he's a replacement. Mm-hmm.
When does it end?
It doesn't.
When does it end?
It doesn't. So you keep proving yourself.
You keep proving yourself.
Every single time. And that goes for everybody.
Sure. Yeah, new show, new people to have to prove yourself to.
And
that's a lot to take in.
And then that show doesn't work. And you're in a flop. And how good can you be if you didn't make it a success? You know, there's... You still want to do this? Tell what I just saw.
Stephen's painful face of...
About the realities.
Realities of...
The business. Pursuing a career.
Pursuing. Yeah. I have the utmost respect for anyone doing anything in the business at
it's
all.
So, it's me too.
It's just...
So I went to the audition was at the Schubert Theater. And I put the makeup on, this clown makeup, across the street. Because I couldn't go there. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go in makeup so that they would not say, he's too young. Which they often said, because I used to look very young. Alas.
You still look so young.
Work forever.
Oh, listen to the two of you. God bless
you. Joel Grey is ageless.
He is. You are.
Anyway, so I went over there in full makeup with sunglasses on, as if that covered me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And people are looking, who is this guy in Schubert Alley?
Right.
With makeup on. And I got on stage, and I sang What Kind of Fool Am I for Anthony Newley, and I got the part. And that turned it all around, because that was a part that not only needed musical ability, but it was a big acting part.
Mm.
And that's where I had the experience.
It reminds me, Joan Rivers was... she always talked about how... She was an actor. She wanted to be an actress. But no one saw her as that. And so she just had to be like, I'm going to go where the dogs are barking because I want to be an actress. Sure. I want to be taken seriously.
But it was not to be.
Not to be.
No. So after I did that,
yeah.
I still couldn't get a job. After Stop the World, I toured all over the United States, had great reviews, did big business, but I was this off kind of actor.
Yeah.
Hard to cast. And I did Stop the World in Connecticut, and Hal Prince happened to be a friend of mine, and he came to see it and got an idea that maybe if he had a part sometime, that I might be somebody, you know, right? And the next thing I knew, I was taking the part of Tommy Steele in Half a Sixpence. And Hal came to see me. I was doing it for a week. And afterwards, he says, what's with you always standing in this spotlight by yourself? The next thing I knew, he put me in the spotlight by myself in Cabaret. And the rest is just a regular career.
Wow.
Sure. Very regular.
Uncle Hal. I mean, he's a fairy godfather to this entire industry.
Yeah. He loved talent.
Wow.
And he loved the theater as much as I did and do.
Can we talk about Cabaret?
Sure. Any good?
I've never seen it. I hate it. No, it's... You know how...
You've seen it on stage and in the film?
Have I seen it on stage?
Summer Stock production, nothing?
I have.
I don't know if I've seen... I've seen the movie.
Oh, all right. Let's hear about the stage.
Yeah.
I saw the 98 production. I saw Ron Rifkin in it. And I knew I was coming...
You mean the Sam Mendes?
Yes. And it was my first trip to New York, so I go through my, New York Magazine subscription. And I'm flipping through to see what's showing, and I'll be damned, there's a production of Cabaret happening.
Oh my gosh.
And I made my parents promise that I could see that. Now, Lion King was still new, and my dad tried with all of his might to go see Lion King, as he should have.
Sure.
And also,
dads love Lion King.
I was seeing nothing if it was not at Studio 54.
Right.
I was seeing nothing.
Turning this off.
Oh, thank good. You. And we got the last two tickets in the last row of the balcony, the far house right corner. I remember every second of it. I remember I got the script from Borders Books Music and Cafe.
R.I.P.
And I mean, I read the whole thing. I learned it before going to see it. It changed my whole life.
Yeah.
It changed my whole life.
So you're a Sondheim-y.
Correct.
I'm very much a Candor and Ebby. And so, does that make sense?
Yeah, there's a difference.
There's a difference. And I grew up on anything I could grab my hands on related to Liza Minnelli. I mean, that was just, you know.
Sure.
Liza with a Z. And then it all just kind of goes from there. But Cabaret is...
Very, had a big effect on actors and actresses. And
she's a real deal.
She's magic. Yeah. She's magic.
She's magic. And it's on her own.
I don't know where she gets it from.
It's anyone's guess.
But she was... Judy Garland was in many ways the person whose combination of acting and singing was the most meaningful to me. She and Mickey Rooney were so good. Mm-hmm. And so I had trouble seeing that movie about her.
Which one?
The new one.
The new Judy?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
And Renee Zellweger does a great job, but I was too connected.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So
maybe it's not for the people who knew Judy. It's for the people who may want
to. I think it's very successful.
Okay.
She's a wonderful actor and deserves recognition.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Next.
I want to talk to you about your touring life, both as Joel Grey. There was the Joel and Liza tour, and then you've toured with productions.
Then I toured with my cat.
Did you really? What?
I did. Betty.
So, I mean, obviously you like traveling. That you know.
No, that was a way to make a living. I had a family.
Well, I know, but in general, as a human being, I know that you like to travel. You like to see the world.
Well, yeah, I do. Yeah, less and less. Since I've been so many places, I can say that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I love travel.
And did you love touring as opposed to staying in one spot?
I did.
What was so great about it for you?
What
did you do to keep it?
Bringing something unique to Cleveland, Ohio, that they don't see. Something that's been crafted by the best Broadway directors and, you know, communicators. And to bring some magic, because I remember when I was in Cleveland, one of the things that I saw made me crazy. It was Porgy and Bess. And I thought, boy, look what that can do to me and to this audience. And, and I said, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's that Broadway, there's tourism in New York City. And so if you're on Broadway, there's a local audience and there's an international audience. There are people traveling from all over the world.
But when you go to somebody's city.
Yeah, but when you go to Cleveland.
You belong to them.
Yeah, no one international is coming to Cleveland. Like, this is for you guys. This is a local production coming through.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful. That's how I mean, I'm from Wisconsin, so that's how I saw shows. Thank God for the Rosie O'Donnell show, because she had Broadway performers on all the time.
Right. She was a great spark.
She was such a spark. That's such a great word for her. She was a spark for me, and she's how I know a lot of Broadway things. So I was like, thank you. But yeah.
Do you hear that, Rosie?
Do you hear that?
I hope Rosie hears that.
I love
Rosie.
I love her for a lot of reasons, but that's one of them. Guess what I have?
Dana brought props.
Guess what I was listening to this morning?
So cute.
So cute. Look at you. I have a record of Joel Grey songs my father taught me, and they're all Yiddish. For the most part, I think so.
Yiddish and English.
Yiddish and English. And he's such a dapper young man in this photo. Can you tell me about this record?
I think it was my first recording, and it was... I was in my, maybe late 20s, mid-20s, and I didn't speak Yiddish, but I loved what my father was doing. And Capitol Records said, let's do something with your son.
It's so fun. I might play a little snippet on here and put it on there.
For sure.
But it really brought it back to, Fiddler. I mean, you're yes. back to
full
your
circle. Root,
full circle. And we're all just trying to go home, Like, you're trying to find point A. And I think that's... It's such a gorgeous record. It's so fun. I was listening this morning, I'm like...
Yes?
Yeah.
I love it.
It'll put you in a good mood.
You play LPs?
Yeah. Oh,
good
yeah.
girl.
I have a huge collection.
Really?
Yeah.
And where did you get this?
I was gifted this because they knew I probably didn't have it, and it's a find.
Funny picture, right?
I was gonna say, so dapper. You've always been a man of high fashion.
Dapper,
very dapper, very finger on the pulse in the world of fashion for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you tell this guy?
Just keep going. Just keep doing it. No, it's all different now.
Yeah.
But that's appropriate.
For sure. Expected.
Your hair looks great.
Mickey Katz is your dad, and he played for Spike Jonze?
Yes.
I had the biggest crush on Spike Jonze.
My father was the guy who went...
No way!
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
It's called glugging. And he was the best glugger in the business.
Okay, so
and I'm the son of a glugger.
Son of a glugger.
That was him?
And okay. Clarinet.
Was it like William Tell Overture? Like, there's so many Spike Jonze songs that...
Spike Jonze was brilliant.
Yeah. Beauty. Diggly, diggly, diggly. Oh, so fun. Have you ever... I mean, it's so stupid.
I didn't know...
It's so stupid. No, because...
There's so many things you don't know about
clearly.
Her.
Well, because
Bette Midler loved him. And so I was like, who's this guy she likes? I was like, oh my God, that's so weird. That's so weird. I loved it. I would be the only person in Central Wisconsin in, 2001
who's
playing the... Spike Jonze Orchestra. I had no friends.
Must have been very lonely.
I was so lonely.
Me too.
I wasn't. But I was really digging my Mac the Knife and Spike Jonze. Ah, glugger. I had no idea. Wow.
In some secluded around a...
In some secluded rendezvous. It's my thing. I have to listen to that again because I had no idea.
Play it. Play it on this show.
And it's so beautiful. Yeah. Like they sing, in some secluded rendezvous. Diglet, bump, diglet, bump. Yeah, bow. Okay.
Are you still
sweating? This is my favorite thing. So happy.
Decided to do this?
I'm in heaven.
Oh my God. I wish I could have been more prepared.
My two pals.
Those are all my questions I have for you, Joel Grey. Just kidding.
Did you know that your career was happening during the height of Broadway?
Ooh.
Does that make sense? Like, while
you mean
were
in a golden age?
I mean, while you were here in the 60s, 70s, 80s, I mean, those 30
right.
years.
Well, when I won the Tony for Cabaret,
right,
I figured I probably had a job again someday.
Soon. Sure.
Yeah.
And you did with George M.
Right.
Another huge success at the Palace.
Right.
With Bernadette.
Mm.
I mean, those are two good ones to have in a row.
Not bad.
Not bad.
And then there's Chicago.
Fast forward.
And Anything Goes.
All hits. Wicked. A little show called Wicked.
A little show called Wicked.
The little show that could.
Right.
How long were you in that?
A year.
A year. Yeah.
Oh, always a year. Always a year. The first time I ever saw you on stage was in Anything Goes.
Really?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I remember being so excited. I'd seen Anything Goes before, and maybe enough times. The show was not the draw for me, but I said, I've never seen Joel on stage. I'm not going to pass that up. That's that story. It was.
I'm obsessed.
I remember every minute. I remember every minute.
You do a lot of TV stuff as well.
And films.
And films.
Was the Cabaret film the thing that made Hollywood want to gobble
yeah.
you up for a while?
You're one of the, I think it's only one of 10 people who've won
right. The Tony.
The Tony and the Oscar for playing the same role.
Right.
So like Viola Davis in Fences is mm-hmm. another example.
Rex Harrison.
Yep, there's a whole list. One of 10 people, that's pretty great.
I've never thought about it in that categorization before. That's amazing.
Yeah, to be synonymous with a role is it daunting? Is it lovely? Is it, do you feel like you own it? What is that for you?
I do.
All of the above? Do you?
No, I mean I know that there was nothing there.
Right, you and Hal and that
yeah.
team and that cast mm-hmm. created
yeah.
what it is and what it became.
Yeah. And of course, it's great to be copied, and mm-hmm. people do other versions that are interesting and mm-hmm. talented. Sure. But we spoke about it first.
Yeah. Is it hard for you to see productions of shows that you were in?
Yes.
Yes.
Understandable.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, Sam Mendes' Cabaret
mm-hmm.
was a whole other show from Hal Prince's.
I bet. No
I mean,
question.
Undoubtedly. And valid. But not the same.
Sure. I mean, Cabaret specifically, I can imagine being a very difficult one to go see, given your history with it.
Yeah. And all the iterations of Sally Bowles. I mean, you couldn't pick different people to
right.
play her,
oh
you know? There's been quite a cast of Sally's.
It was.
And Penny got to play her with you.
Oh,
that's how
right.
I know her. I love her.
Penny
we
Fuller.
Love Penny Fuller.
Yeah.
God, I wish I could have seen her in that role.
She was good. Really good. She's a wonderful
no
actor.
Also, like, classically trained. She never thought she'd be in musicals. Ever. Ever. She just wanted to do Shakespeare. That's it.
She's a treasure.
National. She sends her
or
love
local,
to everyone
anyway.
Here.
A
in
local
this
treasure.
Room.
Yeah, oh God.
Speaking of this room, we are in your gorgeous West Village apartment.
Yeah.
Wendy Goodman recently did her video series here,
you see
so
it?
You can
I
take
did.
A peek.
I did.
That was a great
feature.
It was
fun.
It was so fun. It was so fun. She so genuinely enjoyed everything that she saw. And just everything was more jaw-dropping than the last.
Joel Grey is an artist. You're a photographer. And this apartment really shows that off in a big way. Your aesthetic is very pleasing. It,
well,
it looks like a museum
it's,
of
this
taste.
A lot of... I mean, the photography's just the past 10 years.
You can always learn something new, Steven.
You've always had a designer's eye, though. I mean, when you moved in here, there was it was a cement box.
Right. I used to collect photographs.
What is it about photography? You've had 4 photography books.
5.
5?
Mm-hmm.
You can purchase on Amazon or wherever you get your books.
And the memoir.
Plus the memoir.
Oh, dear.
Called Master of Ceremonies. A memoir.
That was a fun one to be a part of in any capacity.
But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
We like to ask all of our guests what their first impression of each of us was.
She's hiding.
Because she can't wait.
I can't speak. I can't speak.
Well, my first impression of you was earnest and appealing and nervous.
You picked up on that, huh?
I still got it.
Were you a fan before you started working?
Oh, my God.
Because that would be just overwhelming, I think.
I grew up with everyone telling me, because I was working, I was dancing, I was doing shows all the time, and everyone said, you remind me of a young Joel Grey. You remind me of
No, you never told me that.
I wasn't supposed to.
Oh, my God. No wonder we're stopping working.
So then, you know,
he loves you so much.
Full circle moments, having the opportunity to come in and A, meet you, B, in your home, C, potentially to spend a lot of time with you.
Right. It's
and
very...
soak it up.
Absolutely. It up. I was absolutely nervous. This is a hero. I sang the last 90 seconds of Cabaret in my 5th grade talent show.
The last 90 seconds?
We were only allowed 90 seconds.
Oh, did they have a stopper? Okay, Steven, you're done. No, I sang Cabaret for, with the whole, whatever hand movements she's doing, for the Winterfest pageant. And I won, bitches.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Look at you today.
What, pray tell, is a Winterfest pageant?
It's when we win a crown in Wautoma, Wisconsin.
Like a Wautoma debutante ball?
Yep.
Oh, can we go to one?
Yep, we do nothing. But, okay, now, what did you think of me when you first met me, Joel? I don't actually know the first time.
I thought you were...
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you were full of it. Full of life and excitement and sharing in his adoring of the theater. Mm. And I was right.
True. I adore it.
You're a very good judge of character. You see people pretty quickly and pretty accurately.
I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's infallible.
Yeah. Do you like directing?
I love it. I don't ever really want to act again.
Oh, is this breaking news? Breaking news.
I'm going off to do a television show.
Can you talk about it, or is it top secret at the moment?
It's a series called The Old Man, and that's not me.
Okay, to
ageless.
Be clear.
Joel Grey is ageless.
No, he's not ageless, believe me. And you know better. but it's from a book, and it's starring John Lithgow and Jeff Bridges. And it's...
2 men who I have massive crushes on.
Good.
3 men who I have massive crushes on.
Okay, here we go.
So much talent.
So much talent. Have you worked with either of them before?
John.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a pal. But it's very interesting material. It's about CIA and just insane.
What network is it going to be on?
Hulu.
Oh, beautiful.
FX.
FX, and then also Hulu.
It says Hulu.
FX certainly puts their programming on Hulu.
Yeah.
So there is.
See, this is what he knows.
Probably a partnership. I only know because I watch my FX shows
via Hulu. How's the family?
Good, good, good. Jennifer is writing a memoir.
How fun. Those will look so nice on my bookshelf side by side.
That's so great. Amazing.
Yeah. And my granddaughter is 18 and deciding which, she was admitted to three colleges.
Oh, this is good a big student. Time.
I can't believe she's 18.
What does she want to do? Family business?
Who knows?
Okay.
At least she's going to get to go to college.
Sure. Mm-hmm. She'll figure it out.
That's great. I mean, I wanted to. When I was 18, I got into UCLA.
Got it.
And I got into a fraternity. And then I got this offer to play my one-man act in Chicago. And my father said, you know, when you get out of college, you're going to want this job. Mm-hmm. So I think you should do the job.
Wow. What a mensch. He sounds like the greatest.
I tried that tactic on my parents so hard.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go to college. Just, I'm going to want to do this after, so don't make me stop.
Yeah.
But
I'm
glad I did.
Your college got you here.
Yeah, I'm certainly glad that I went. You know, hindsight. Mm-hmm.
Did you know he majored in women's studies?
I'm every woman.
Every woman.
It's all in me.
First of all, I love that we're all in our soft clothes. It's a very, like, weekender.
He asked me yesterday, he goes, are you going to look different? I said, nope.
No.
You mean when you're a woman? What did you mean?
No, when I came over to podcast and not to work. But
that's
also
amazing.
I mean,
I want to do you in drag, though. That's on my bucket list.
I think you'd look great.
Would
I look like a Tootsie or like a Mrs. Doubtfire?
No, I would take.
I think I'd look like a Mrs. Doubtfire.
I would take your eyebrows off. I'd glue them down.
I don't think I should be around for this discussion.
You won't, but I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
We'll do it off campus.
Please.
Yeah.
Off campus.
Yeah.
We'll do it at the Joel Grey frat house at UCLA.
I'm curious. This interview is going everywhere, but that's how we do.
That's your editing work.
That's my editing work. What is your New York? Are there spots that you love? Do you have pockets of the city that are your favorite?
Oh.
What's Joel Grey's New York?
Joel Grey's New York is the whole town, of course, but I've always loved the Village.
Yeah.
I lived here in a one-room apartment when I first got married. On the third floor on 8 Jones Street, right off of West 4th, between West 4th and Bleecker.
Wow.
And I pass it all the time.
So you've always been down here.
I moved to the Village 16 years ago. I lived uptown for most of my Broadway tenure.
You have a gorgeous view of the Hudson.
Yeah, this apartment. I mean, you make sense in this apartment, and you make sense in the Village. If I had to guess based on...
And he has to schlep so far.
It's the express train.
So much fun.
It keeps
him
off the streets.
The trains are terrible, but it is. I don't have to transfer trains, so
is that
easy.
True?
Yeah, it's straight shot. Straight shot.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I just have to sit down and tune out for a little while.
Do you take the train anymore?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Mm.
I've been on a train with you.
It's the fastest way to get somewhere.
I love you so much. This is such an honor.
So sweet.
I'm having a moment.
Mom.
I'm having a moment.
Hi-ho. Hi-ho.
There are 7 very well-known dwarves in history. If you were the 8th dwarf, what would your name be?
Shmendrick.
Shmendrick dwarf.
There wasn't even a thought.
You've been asked this before.
Never.
This may seem shocking, but you're the first.
You're the first Shmendrick dwarf.
Does that have a... What does that mean? What does that mean?
What?
My grandma used to call me Shmendrick.
Shmendrick? Is that
my mom calls me Shmendrick.
What is it? I'm a shiksa. I have no idea.
Just a regular guy.
Shmendrick.
Yeah, average Joe.
Average Joe.
Do you think you're
sure
an average Joe?
Some people can, well...
No, but imagine a Shmendrick.
I mean, I think I'm a man of the universe.
Yeah.
I'm a part of life. So I think I am an average.
You're a square in the quilt.
I'm a... Very strange, ordinary guy.
great, because we all have our eccentricities, but we're all just normal.
Yeah.
No, I think that's terribly accurate. Terribly accurate.
Terribly accurate.
Yeah, I think you're a very regular guy with a very cool career.
Yeah. And we already know what's next for you. You're going to do a series.
Ooh. Well, three.
How many days is that?
Three or four. I don't know. But I got to get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for spending your Saturday afternoon with us in your home.
And the sun is shining.
I know. I was so glad when I woke up and it wasn't raining because I knew we'd,
and this, it's
we'd get a podcast with a view.
It's been
lovely.
That's
a song.
A podcast with a view. We'll commission someone.
And you. A podcast with a view.
And a Jew.
Or two.
Adieu.
Adieu.
And you, and you, and you, and you.
I guess this is where we say thank you for listening. Auf Wiedersehen. A bientôt.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out. And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.